He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Oh, Dr. Brown, I have missed you. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad that you're back. And just in time, because this new CDC report just dropped, sharing Americans who say they are suffering from chronic pain has jumped for the first time in years. And I don't think it's just because we've gone 2 weeks without hearing from you, Dr. Brown. So what do you think about this report?
Good morning, Melissa. It is definitely an interesting, really interesting report in that aspect, especially with chronic pain. So chronic pain there's several components associated with it. There's the obvious, you know, there's an injury or something along those lines and it continues to move forward. And then there's a whole bunch of social factors associated with it, as well as physical factors. You know, obviously association with, and again, this is generalization. I know this can be a really sensitive area. Generalization, weight, and then less activity, et cetera. If you look at some of this data, it does demonstrate that might think, okay, you're someone who's high stress. Maybe you're thinking more in the metropolitan areas. We're seeing this sort of in the outside of metropolitan areas.
So this is nationwide. We're seeing more people with chronic pain. So, I mean, would that link then, Dr. Brown, to what we're putting in our body?
I think it has a combination of multiple things.
Okay.
So one of the things about chronic pain is inflammation. So if you kind of break down inflammation, so that's where inflammation is sort of a general term. So chronic pain, obviously, if you have inflammation in certain areas, they're going to cause pain. If you can reduce that inflammation, then you have less pain, in particular, less chronic pain. The ways to reduce that inflammation is eating right, exercising, and reducing stress.
Right. So it's a combination of different things, which is a kind of ironic. There was another. Did you see that study out of California? I think it was originally from Australia, though, where there's this like stronger link between healthy habits and your lifespan. If you walk and you have a healthy meal or something every day, you're expanding your lifespan by like 11 years or something. Did you see that report?
I did.
I thought, how ironic. The timing of all these things, you know, chronic pain and you should probably exercise and eat well and not be so stressed. And oh, by the way, you can also, you know, live longer if you just eat well and you exercise.
That's exactly. It's you know, because we can talk as a generalization and simplify a little bit, but that's, I mean, really, that is the point.
Mm-hmm.
It really is about, you know, chronic pain is one of those that, you know, there's definitely reasons for chronic pain. But the exacerbation of that chronic pain, which makes sense. I mean, listen, it's been a stressful few years.
I don't know what you mean, Dr. Brown. I'm not sure if I understand what you're implying here. Yeah, it has been. I mean, that's the thing that I'm curious about. When you hear doctors say, you know, eat well and exercise, the stress is I think, its own category. I agree. And I think that's changed over time, certainly. But, I mean, humans are humans. We've been flawed since before, you know, the creation in Genesis. I mean, we've always had, I think, we could be lazy. We could, you know, where we eat fast food instead of just taking the time to make our own food. I think these are common things that I don't think are new to this generation of living. But I do think there have to be, I would say, changes that we're now all of a sudden seeing that more people are suffering from chronic illness. More people, even though we have the most advanced medications on the market, we have the most advanced technology in the medical field. We are seeing people dying earlier or getting cancer younger. I mean, there have to be things that changed. I don't know so much if the humans have changed, but like that's why I go back to what we're consuming. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that's got to be a big part of it.
I think that's a great summary. And I think there's one piece that I could probably answer that's a little bit different now versus what we saw in the past.
Yeah.
Social isolation.
Right. People aren't moving, getting out, talking. You know.
Exactly. And that's a huge part of our, you know, as a human, and the most primordial part of our brains is being connected with other people. And if we're out in the country, you know, or isolating into out of the cities and out of sort of well-established communities, that social isolation is a big deal.
That's a good
increases
point.
Stress, that increases poor dietary habits and bad habits. So social isolation is, I think, honestly, again, this is my opinion, is that that's probably one of the biggest factors that we have. You know,
that is
interesting. The glued to whatever screen that's close to us, and not going out. I mean, going out into the community. You know, I'm sure your mom as well as mine said, "Hey, you need to go outside and play."
Right. That's not the way of the world today. Right. That's not really the norm. And I think maybe for kids, that's one thing. But I think I know it's become a real convenience. And I know that we've realized, wow, people can be way more productive when they work from home. But I said this from the get-go, Dr. Brown. And I know not a lot of people agree with me, and that's perfectly fine. But the few weeks during COVID that I had to work from home, I was a different person. We're talking about 3 weeks of my life broadcasting this show from home. I was a different person. I was not motivated. I did not eat well. I did not exercise. I had a bad attitude. All these things, because to me, there was no incentive. Like, why do I get up to get dressed? I'm just going to do my work in my pajamas. That was the honest to God truth. I was doing Melissa in the morning in my pajamas those 3 weeks I worked from home.
Right.
You know, and to me, that right away, okay, so I'm in my pajamas. So as soon as I shut the mic off at 10:01 in the morning, I'm not dressed for the day, so I'm just going to go back and lounge. So now I've slowed down my metabolism, and I don't have the energy to make food, so I'm just going to run through the drive-thru. You see what I'm saying? So I don't even know if convenience is enough of a reason to continue with, I don't want to call it isolation, but I would say kind of withdrawing from having that motivation to get out of your house and go do something.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we need to be really careful because, you know, is the generation that we are now bringing up more socially isolated? There's a lot of reasons not to interact with people, and in all honesty, it's a little bit easier to do that, especially if you're slightly or introverted.
That's so true. Because that's the other thing too, Dr. Brown. And nobody ever believes me with this, but if I didn't have a job that required me to talk for 5 hours a day, I am the most extroverted introvert on the planet. I am a homebody. I don't like going out. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be on the phone for an hour. I'm not that girl. So if I didn't actually have a job that almost like forced me to do that, and I do enjoy educational conversations like the one you and I have, which is part of why I love this job, is that I'm guaranteed to have substance conversations 5 hours a day, which is great for me. The rest of my day, though, I am, you know, I'm having conversations with a 6-year-old. That's about my capacity level for me. I'm definitely more of an introvert, honestly.
Absolutely. And self-proclaiming, I agree. I'm exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. If I wasn't a physician and didn't speak to people all day, I would do the exact same thing. I would be, you know, isolated and
there you go,
et cetera. So I could tell you that same sort of tendencies. But I mean, listen, it's, you know, and for people who are introverted, it is hard to get out, you know, if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So having a job and having a place to go, and not even having a job, but you would actually have to, I don't know about you, but I would have to fill my day with, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that. I would have to set up a plan the next day or the day before and say, this is what we're going to do.
I would encourage
people to do that.
I was going to say, people think I'm crazy, Dr. Brown. I'm 34 years old. I have been planning my retirement for the last 5 years, and I continue to plan it, not because I am retiring anytime soon, but that is one of my biggest fears in life, is that I will decline as soon as I retire from working in any sort of communications role. Like, I'm already setting up, I've already sort of tapped certain nonprofits that I'm like, hey, if you need a volunteer in 30 years, call me, because I would love to be a volunteer 5 days a week. You know, I have to find, I don't want to say purpose, but I have to find where I don't fall into what you're talking about, which is isolation and which is, you know, detrimental to your health. I'm afraid
absolutely
of that.
And there's a lot of data that demonstrates that, you know, once you get to that social isolation, where does that lead to? So again, going back to the chronic pain, I'm not surprised because of the concerns that you would see with the increased amount of social isolation, the, you know, leading to or being associated with. I mean, obviously eating poorly and not exercising can also lead to social isolation. So it's a deadly spiral down.
Mm. Well, you've made sense of that, Dr. Brown. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't really think about that aspect of it. I did think about the type of food that I eat today or that the average American eats today versus what my parents were eating or my grandparents were eating and the quality of the food. Even when you go to a restaurant, you have no idea what's in your salad dressing, let alone what's in the actual dish. It's very different than what it was when I was going to restaurants 30 years ago with my parents. I do think that the quality of food makes a difference. But, you know, what even makes us eat bad food, for example? It's not having the motivation to, you know, cook at home, for example, and know the ingredients you're putting into your food. That makes a huge difference. Your social life, if you will, you know, has a trickle down effect on the thing, on those things. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huh. Makes sense. Well, Dr. Brown, I really appreciate you talking about this and sharing your insight. And I always love chatting with you. We are not going to talk next week again because it's Thanksgiving. So I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
We're talking about eating, right?
Oh, yeah, right? We definitely did not launch correctly into this, but that's okay.
But you'll be social. So that's, so listen, you're getting
exactly.
part of that. So be social.
Be social. That's really, that's the baseline right there, right? And then we make somewhat good decisions from there. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I love that. Dr. Brown, you're a joy. Thank you so much. I will talk to you after the holiday in December. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Well, you take care, Melissa.
Oh, you too. You too, my friend. Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health right here on WICC.